It's the Football Sack Podcast, and we're bored.
We're dead bored.
There was no football last night.
No football. Devastating.
We're just going to just potter our way through this podcast for the next half hour. We'll see what we come up with. Stay tuned. Well, we've got 35 minutes to talk about not a lot of football that went on last night, so we're just in the studio at the moment. We're just doing some arts and crafts. Christian's got... you got some pipe cleaners over
some
there.
Some pipe cleaners. Can you pass the paddle pop sticks?
Yeah, here's the paddle pop sticks. There you go. So, that looks nice. What are you making over there?
It's a butterfly.
I've just got the watercolours out. I'm just doing some landscapes over here. So I'll keep you posted on how they look by the end of the show. They look nice though. So
they're very nice.
Yeah, that's good. Lovely. Of course, there was a little bit of World Cup action a couple of days ago. We had the last round of 16 matches took place since we've been on the air. We had Spain made their way through with a 1-0 win over Portugal, and our first penalty shootout of the tournament, which is always nice to see, because Paraguay took care of Japan after a pretty stale nil-all draw.
Pretty dour match. So.
Yeah.
But the other round of 16 matches were all quite entertaining, so we had to have one.
Yeah. Of course, with Portugal going out, we saw the curse of the Nike TV commercial continue because for those of you who've had your TV switched on over the last month, you will have seen these Nike commercials. They so far have focused on Rooney, Ronaldo, Ribery, Cannavaro, Ronaldinho and Drogba, all of which have now packed their bags and headed home early. So they've put out an SOS to Robinho.
And didn't he make it for him?
Well, it's probably who you have your money on, though.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
they're looking really good.
They are. Yeah. They are. It is quite strange, though. Semi-final, quarter-finals, and not one of the Nike ad players are... One of the original Nike ad players aren't actually in the competition anymore.
Yeah, that's right. So, that is weird to think they're by quarter-final stage.
All
of those players... No longer in this tournament.
And I'm sure at the start of the tournament, you had seen that series of ads. You would have ventured that at least every quarterfinal would have featured at least one of those players.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, it's great, though.
It's brilliant. I like it, football, and I love it.
That's right. That's why we do love it. We've got some pretty tasty quarterfinal matchups to look forward to as well.
Kicking off
tomorrow evening, we've got Uruguay-Ghana to start us off with, which will be a great game. I'm looking forward
to. Yeah, well, that's it. Ghana's really... put up the attacking football, which they didn't have during the group matches.
Yep.
And Uruguay
haven't exactly sat back either.
No, that's it. Defensively solid. They've only let in one goal.
Yeah.
But they're attacking like
Suarez,
another South American
Forlan. They look great.
How good's Forlan?
He's awesome, isn't he? Yeah. Paraguay, Spain. You would think that Spain would get through that. Paraguay have kind of defended themselves. Although, apart from Italy, which was a fluke goal, they haven't conceded. So
that's right, very defensively solid.
Yeah.
And if Spain are going to lose to anyone, it's going to be a defensive solid side.
Yeah, as we saw in the group stages.
That's right.
With Switzerland. Of course, we've got Netherlands, Brazil as well, which has the potential to be a great match.
And, I'm looking forward to that one the most.
Oh, really? More so than Germany, Argentina.
Oh, it's a tough call.
Yeah, that's my pick. I think that'll probably be the best game of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't had like a 4-3 yet. A cliffhanger kind of game. Slovakia, Italy kind of was.
But it was only in the last 10 minutes.
That's right. It was only the last 10 minutes of the game. So, unfortunately, it wasn't a real thriller. Mm-hmm. But we are looking forward to that very much so. Of course, a lot of controversy with teams going out of this tournament. The managers, they've been under a lot of pressure as well. So, obviously Capello, Dominic, Maradona.
It'd be interesting to hear their thoughts, almost.
Well, it's funny that you say that, actually, because we actually had a microphone in the England dressing room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after the loss to Germany the other day, which is crazy. Apparently, Capello handed over the reins to his assistant, Stuart Pearce.
The old psycho.
Yeah, psycho Pearce. And he gave the speech to the England boys. And let's just have a quick listen at what he had to say.
Always look on the bright side of life.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Always look on the light side of life.
That is crazy that at an international football tournament, that's the speech that you give to your team. But hey, to be honest, you know, it's about all they had going for them.
That's it. You know, not something you expect from Stuart Pearce. He's a bit angry. But, well,
that's right. You get the nickname Psycho.
Yeah, it's not given out lightly, is
that's
it?
That's right. And I think that, you know, it's amazing what goes on in those dressing rooms.
You know, turning over a new leaf, good on him.
Yeah, the very new placid Psycho Pearce. And of course, another manager at the centre of a lot of controversy has been, Ramon Domenech, obviously.
Oh, yeah. What hasn't been said about him?
That's right. Everyone's thrown in there too, Bob, and he, you know, confirmed that he's a bit of a nut job. And he came out and made a statement, actually, when the French team arrived home. And we've just got a snippet of that statement that we'll play for you just now. Here's what he had to say. Most people I know think that I'm crazy. Well, you're bang on there.
I'd say it's the first time he's got something right in 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's the first tactically correct thing he's done since taking the reins as the national manager of France. Yeah, because, correct, Ramon. And his English is good.
Yeah, well done. I applaud you on your English and your sudden realization.
And his guitar playing as well.
Oh, yeah. He brought that along himself, did he?
Yes, he set up for the press conference, did tuned up and let fly with that one. So, yeah, that's great. Maradona. Of course, a lot of controversy coming into the tournament. Would he be able to organise his team? You know, would they all play for him? There's question marks over whether he wants to play Messi because he kind of wants to be Argentina's hero. He doesn't want Messi to win this World Cup by himself and replace him. And the funny thing about Maradona is he's always, you see, whenever they score a goal, everyone makes a big circle on the touchline. He's always on the outer. Have you noticed that? He's always trying to get a hug from the outside.
And I've seen him when players go out to walk onto the pitch. He makes them line up so he can kiss every one of them. He can't. None of them can escape.
That's right. Yeah, he's spreading. He's spreading genital herpes like you would not believe through that camp. That's so funny. Yeah, he just wants to be a part of it.
He wants to be involved, but no one seems to take him on.
That's right, and actually, I was standing outside the Argentine dressing room yesterday. Mm-hmm. With my iPhone, I had it on recorder. I was fumbling with it, and I'm glad I did because this is what I picked out coming from his speech before the game. Crazy.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
The way he's begging to be loved.
Yeah, well, you can see it in his actions, and now it's in his speech as well.
That's terrific, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm surprised he's got the respect of players.
Yeah, but hey, they've got behind him.
That's it. Well, that's probably what he wanted.
Yeah. Oh, snap. Well done. That was good.
Thank you.
We didn't practice that, but that was very good. A big serious story to come out of this World Cup has been Nigeria. Their president or prime minister, I'm not sure.
President
has come out and banned their national football team from playing matches for 2 years as a result of their abysmal performance at the World Cup.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I didn't think they were awful. I thought they were below par.
Yeah. Well, they should have probably got more points than they did. But, again, against Greece, they should have won the game if that guy didn't have the brain snap.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It was, a little bit disappointing. Great.
And, of course, FIFA don't like it when politics get involved in your football association, do they? They really, they'll kick you. Like, Iraq were threatened to be kicked out of football because something to do with their Olympic team.
Yeah, the Olympic Committee was getting involved with the soccer committee.
That's what it was, yeah.
But this is strange because normally when FIFA politics get involved, they punish the federation by slapping on a ban that they can't play for 2 years.
Yeah, they don't kick themselves out.
Yeah, so what are they going to do? No, Nigeria, you have to play.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
They'll go down to go down to some African suburb, get all these little black kids dressing up in green jerseys, just pretend they're Nigeria, just to spite them.
Yeah, that's right. And just go, we held a match yesterday, you lost, and you played. Mm. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Another interesting thought is, they've made it to the World Cup, which for any nation is an achievement in itself. Do you reckon the president still would have taken the same action if they just didn't qualify?
Oh, good question. Because they weren't at the last World Cup.
Yeah, no, they weren't. This is their first World Cup for a while.
Yeah, it's the first since 2002, so it's a step up for them.
It should be celebrated.
And two World Cups in a row, they've had the Argentina in their group, which has been hard enough. because their group in 2002 was like England and Sweden and Argentina. So
yeah, good luck getting out of that.
Yeah, that's tough. And you know, this wasn't easy. Argentina, Korea, and Greece. As Argentina and Korea have shown, they more than held their own. They're good sides. Australia's 2022 bid is on shaky grounds today because of some bribery allegations.
Some bribery allegations, yeah. Though, on a side note, it worked for the Olympics, so why not try it for the World Cup?
Exactly, yeah, you pointed that out, and very rightly so. And you know, after talking about Diego wanting the players to get behind him, it seems fitting we should move on to...
Ben Buckley giving up pearl necklaces.
Yeah, Ben Buckley handing out pearl necklaces to FIFA delegates. FIFA is just one big gay orgy.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that to all our Seinfeld fans. Yeah, obviously, you know, that's great, but I would just prefer it if they got on with the football.
Yeah, no, I think so.
That's why Sepp Blatter doesn't want video technology, because he doesn't want them to press play and the wrong video pop up. Yeah, that's why.
He's had that happen before.
Yeah, that's right. Here's my home videos.
I swear, honey, that's not me.
Yeah, oh, hang on. That's, you weren't meant to say that.
Martini, duck down.
Yeah, he does seem like that kind of bloke, Martini. Right. That's it doesn't bode extremely well. Any controversy is not good. Of course, the biggest story to come out of FIFA World Cup 2010, for those of you who haven't seen it, I suggest you YouTube it. It is type in Joachim Low eats own snot. This is the funniest video of the year, I think.
It has to be up there, doesn't it?
Because it's like he has a good old pick, sits back in his chair, his assistant says something to him, and while his assistant's sort of talking, he's kind of playing with it in between his fingers.
He rolls into a ball.
Yeah, and you're watching it, and you know it's coming.
He's going, no,
and you go, no, it's been too long, mate. Don't play with it. It's not a football. And you know, so, we're just sitting here going, don't do it. And then he does it, and even though you know it's going to happen, you go,
And he has a good little chew too.
Yeah,
he savors it. You know.
Oh yeah,
there's a special one.
So. Yeah, no, it's a delicacy in Germany. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joachim snot. So yeah, Joachim
snot.
Yeah, you've
sounds like it's a Kaiserslautern special.
Yeah, yeah, it's like bratwurst and sauerkraut and Joachim snot.
That's it.
Yeah,
no, it works out well.
Yeah, you can get that at your local German butcher. This is disastrous. Obviously, we don't have a lot of World Cup stuff to talk about. Luckily, the A-League stepped up because it's getting interesting, so we've got lots of news to talk about there. So let's have a chat about the A-League. We've got some transfer news, which is great. We've got Michael Petkovic is back in Australia.
Yeah, former Socceroos goalkeeper, 33. So he's still got some...
Plenty of time for a keeper.
Especially for a keeper.
Yeah.
Trains first time today.
Today, yes. He's spent, was it 6 years at South Melbourne?
He spent 6 years at South Melbourne, and he's a player
of the century. Named in their team of the century.
Yeah, their goalkeeper of the century, which is quite an achievement. Yeah. Seeing as that it's a very, very historical club.
Yeah, that's right. He spent the best part of a decade overseas in Turkey. He played over there for Trabzonspor and Sivasspor.
Mm-hmm. Scored a goal for Sivasspor as well.
Yeah, he did. Quite a memorable goal as well, which is great. So that's good. I think that he's a step up, and we'll take players like him in our league. I wasn't a big fan of his when he was the Socceroos keeper because I thought there were better keepers, but I think he's good for the A-League.
It's a step up. And
especially because Langerak is gone.
Yeah, well, that's it. They needed someone else because...
Where did he go? I missed that.
Oh, Dutch club, was it?
It was, might have even been a German club, I think.
Yeah, it may have been.
Yeah, because I really like him. No, I think he's definitely... He'll be our next Schwarzer. Yeah, he'll be our keeper for a long time because he's a very good player.
Gotcha. Again, with the players coming in from lots of years in European, he's also going to step up the professionalism in the background.
That's right. People training around him will train a lot harder and more professionally. Yeah, that's right. Of course, we've got a goalkeeper who might be doing the opposite and going the other way.
Yes, Danny Vukovic, which has spent a surprisingly large number of years at Central Coast.
What? How many years did he have there?
He was their first ever keeper. So he's been there the whole time.
He was too, yeah. Wow.
Which is hard to imagine because
was that about 5 years?
About five, 6 years. And so he's going to be off to a Turkish club.
Yeah, he's off to Konyaspor.
Yes. He's
apologies if I can't say that correctly to our Turkish listeners.
Mm-hmm. The club site, the
Central Coast Mariners site.
No, the
Konyaspor. Yeah, yeah.
The transfer has been confirmed.
Yeah,
but according to Central Coast,
it's not confirmed yet.
Advanced talks conversation.
Yeah, because when Harry Kewell signed for Galatasaray, they came out and put it on their website that he'd signed and, and you know, before the deal was done. So let's not read too much into it, but it looks as though that one's going to go through.
Well, Central Coast Twitter put a link up for it saying not confirmed yet, but pretty advanced.
Cool. Good move for him?
Yeah, I think so. You don't want to...
As long as he's playing.
As long as he's playing. You don't want to get too stale in Australia. You know, he's been number one for Central Coast.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
He's could get complacent.
I don't think he was going to go much further in Australian football, was he?
If he kept... In Central Coast, at Central Coast, he wasn't going to get any Socceroos.
That's right. Ops at all. Yeah. Well, not while Pimpin Bake was in charge, anyway.
That's it. He needed, kind of like, he's followed Ante Kovac overseas.
Yeah.
Not the same club, obviously, but in the same. They were at the A League for a similar number of years.
Well, because Kovac came back from, like, Norway or wherever he was.
Yeah, he was getting.
Went back there.
Yeah, because he was at Norway, came back for the A League. His Socceroos chances stopped as soon as he came back, so he went back overseas. Last season or two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Hasn't been called back up, but that's because our goalkeeping stocks are looking
pretty strong. It's probably our strongest area that we have at the moment. That and right backs. We have we took a squad to the World Cup where most of our players have played at right back for some period of time. Well,
I can think of four or five straight at the back of my head.
Yeah, that's right. Right, moving on to some preseason results.
We have another transfer news. Garamangi Singh.
Oh, of course, not wanted.
Not wanted by the...
Not surprised either.
Yeah, no. By the Melbourne Heart. He went over for trial. Probably more PR by Heart than anything.
Yeah, try and get some Indian fans. Yeah,
getting some showing that they're willing to try the lower league sort of players.
Yeah.
Apparently he's very professional, tried his best, but he wasn't going to be first choice.
Turns out he wasn't very good at football.
He played against the Roar. Yeah. He's got three quality centre-backs in front of him already. Beecham... And two others.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wasn't going to crack the first squad. And, you know, like I said, you know, no use having an extra player on the ranks, especially when you're not top class.
That's right, yeah.
Though we will get to see him play against Australia in the Asian Cup. Because
India qualified, yes. We're in their group, aren't we?
Yes, yeah. Yes. So it would be interesting to be able to judge ourselves.
When does that start? Is that middle of next year?
7th of January.
Oh, it's at the start of the year, is it?
Yeah, because it's we play...
it's going to be an A-League team then, isn't it?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
No, none of those European clubs are going to release their players for the Asian Cup. It's not quite the African Cup of Nations.
No, not quite.
Right. So, in the result, is that all our transfers covered?
Yes. There are whisperings of North Queensland Fury, but we won't go into that because we have no confirmation.
Yeah, that's right. They won't talk to us, which is strange because you'd think that they want to make news. They have signed Chris Payne.
Chris Payne. From Sydney FC. They haven't signed him yet. They're very close to it.
Yeah.
In North Queensland's defence, they've had a total upheaval from the owners all the way down to the bottom staff, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt in that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good point. They're probably just trying to figure out what their title is.
Yes, who has to answer the emails.
Yeah, that's right. The phone calls. When the phone rings, they look at each other and go, which one is the secretary again?
Yeah. Moving on.
We might, of course, Dwight York is back in Australia, and we might try and tee up an interview with him for the football sack if we can.
If we can.
If one of us can get down there. So stay tuned. We may have some Dwight York action on the show.
In that regard, if you have some questions you would like us to ask him,
that's quite a good shout. Yeah. Okay. Good call. If you have something you would like Dwight York asked on your behalf, email the show at info@thefootballsack.com. So Dwight York, former Manchester United star, of course, Sydney FC star, of course. Mm-hmm. So your chance to talk to him. You might not ever get another chance. He's a bit of a superstar. All night, Dwight. Email the show.
That's it. And we also, of course, you just post it onto our Facebook wall or even Twitter us.
That's right. Yeah, you can Twitter us or write it on the wall for our Facebook if you would like to ask Dwight York a question, and we'll pick the best ones and throw them at him when we have a chat.
Funny thing about Dwight York, everyone go, Dwight York, Manchester United star. He played about twice as many games for Aston Villa as he did for United.
Yeah, Aston Villa, yeah.
Yeah. So I find that all funny. No, nobody ever pitches him. In
the Villa kit. He scored a lot of good goals. That's what he's got his move to
United.
To United, yeah. Was it twice as many games, really?
About that.
Wow.
Funny thing is, you know, He actually left them quite unceremoniously because he refused to play a game until they released him to
the transfer, yeah. So. And I think Cole did a similar thing from Newcastle to United, Andy Cole.
Yeah, I mean,
lethal together, weren't they?
I'm going to get hounded by this for being a City fan from other City fans, but yeah, you had to enjoy those two together.
Yeah. Oh, United had a great team back then. Beckham whipping in crosses for them. They had goals on a plate.
That's it.
It was no coincidence that Ruud van Nistelrooy's goals dried up when Beckham left United, was it? No coincidence at all.
No, not at all.
Right. Results for our A-League teams. Sydney FC continued their winning ways. A 3-1 win over Marconi. The killer bees with the goals.
Yeah, two by Alex Brosk, who has had
a friend of the show.
And one from Bridgie, Mark Bridge.
Yes.
So 3-1. Solid win, Sydney FC.
He's a solid win. Marconi, a good side.
They are. Yeah. And, of course, they have a rich history in the old NSL.
Of course, yeah.
As do South Melbourne, who we mentioned
earlier. Some great former players at Marconi. Harry Keel, Paul Ocon. Central Coast Mariners. Go on.
Yeah, the Sky Blues still undefeated in their preseason.
Yeah, it doesn't Sydney really FC, because Marconi Sydney. Also wears Sky Blue.
Sky Blue, yeah.
I thought, you've done your research.
It doesn't really say too much because they're not playing A-League clubs, but it's always good solid to have solid.
Well, Marconi would be in season, that's good for Sydney FC. If you're beating a New South Wales State League club that are in season, you're doing well. Central Coast Mariners played another State League side in Blacktown City and came away with a draw.
Yeah, the mighty Blacktown City Demons. Yes. This is the second draw in a row by the Mariners, which is a little bit worrying.
Yeah.
Though Graham Arnold is not with them yet, I don't think.
Yeah, which doesn't bode well because their results are going to go down after that.
One all. Daniel McBrain scoring.
Daniel
the goal.
McBrain was the goal. Yep.
70th minute after or something like that after going down in the 7th minute. So it followed their 2-2 draw last week, which had 3 penalties.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Funny thing. Something I've really noticed about Central Coast Mariners though. Yeah, the performances on the field have been pretty steady over the course of the A-League. Although not very appealing to the eye, they're the most community-focused club out of all the
easily,
clubs.
Yeah, easily.
Have a look at their media. Their community involvements.
They're
Minimum 4 nights per week. They're out in the community doing something. Schools, RSLs. Yeah.
There's no reason. There's no coincidence that they're loved there on the Central Coast. They put in easily the largest amount of work for their community.
And no matter how their performances are on the field, they always have a great crowd because they're part of the community.
That's right.
Something the Gold Coast could take a leaf out of.
Yes, they could.
He's a club which has a great team, a great squad.
Great stadium. Great kit.
Great location.
Everything is in
place. Everything
in place.
If they just had a little bit of community involvement, actually went out there, just half as much as the Mariners, they could be one of the most successful clubs.
They could be huge. They could, if you got sort of 15,000 a week in that 20,000 seat stadium, you get a terrific atmosphere. And like, you know, the old saying, success breeds success. If you get a big crowd will turn up next time because they'll all have a great time.
That's it, yeah. Like, I just think, there might be a bit of an attitude there going, we're the Gold Coast, you come watch us, rather than join us, come with us.
There's
no real community sort of effect there.
Definitely.
Which, I honestly think wouldn't be that hard to change, just needs a bit of effort. A bit of money, a bit of effort,
They're not short of cash. Clive Palmer.
Other match, Brisbane Roar.
They've had some good season form. Melbourne Heart were in action against them. They kicked off their season with a 2-0
win. 2-0
win
over the Heart. Their first ever hit out for the Heart against the A-League club.
Yep, and of course they had a win last night, was it?
Last night,
Against Sunshine Coast.
Is that the Lions? No.
The Fire. Yeah, who are top of the Queensland State League.
Yeah, because they're in season. They're the runaway leaders of the Queensland State League.
So that's great.
That's
great
a
for
really,
Brisbane.
Really solid win.
3-1 win.
And the first goal they've conceded in 5 matches.
Oh,
so
really?
So there are defences.
Oh, that's
solid.
Good. And the goals are spread around as well. Mitch Nichols, Matt Mackay, Costa Barbarousis, and Enrique are all amongst the scorers in those games.
After games, yeah.
And Barbarousis is doing really well, isn't he?
That's it. It's his third goal for the club.
Yeah.
Again, just friendlies. But at the moment...
It's always nice to be scoring.
Yeah, Roar's weakness in player stocks is apparently their forwards.
Yeah.
They have Henrique, who's more an attacking midfielder anyway.
He is, yeah.
They have Ronaldo, and apart from that, they got no one. So they signed Barbarousis, who's actually an all-whites international, though missed out on selection for the World Cup.
What's the go with that Ronaldo bloke? Because he went from being crap to really good to just not playing.
He got injured for about half a season, and then when he got better, he signed a contract with a Korean club.
Yes,
and went over there for a while.
Didn't work out.
No,
came back.
He just loved the lifestyle of Brisbane. Yeah, the sunshine. Yeah, and his family really loved Brisbane. So his family just pushed him back. Okay. And so he came back, and once he came back, he's actually been scoring some goals. It's just because we had a huge gap.
So he had that great purple patch. Was it Sydney FC? He scored that great goal.
Probably one of the top three early goals of all time.
He sort of beat 100 players.
Everyone came along the byline and just chipped it into the far corner.
Because, even fans were jumping out from the stands and trying to tackle him. He kept going around him.
It was amazing. Oh, it was brilliant. And that was in the knockout semi-final at Sydney FC.
It was, too. It was about 35,000 there.
38,000 people. Which is really sad because almost exactly 2 years later, the Raw had a crowd of 8,000 people.
For that same match, Although it wasn't a final.
Under 8,000.
Let's hope they can sort of pick it. Because it's a great place to go, Suncorp and watch football.
It's a great place. Problem is, like I said, I think we've mentioned before on the show, the times of the games were half the problem.
Yeah, you said that. They prefer night games in Brisbane.
Yes, they did. Now they've changed, because the family, it's all very family orientated in Brisbane. The people going to watch the soccer matches, and so it was a family day out, family night out. Once they changed to Saturday days, it was just too hot.
I've been to a game there. We watched who was it? It was like Brisbane against or Queensland when it was Queensland against Melbourne Victory, and we were sat on that eastern side of the field or western side of the field. Which one is it? Eastern side. Which one are you sitting in if the sun's setting in your face? You're on the eastern side,
On the eastern side.
And it was just so boiling hot.
Good news for Suncorp Stadium attendees this year. Every single Raw match is either a Friday or a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
Which is great. So they'll
hopefully the crowds just need some results. Queensland feel very results based.
Yeah.
So
they
get up there and there's no reason.
But they will really get behind you if you come out and play some good stuff. Because as we saw with the Queensland Reds this year in the Super 14 rugby, they came out and played some attacking rugby, the best rugby in Australia out of all the Australian provincial
sides. Even though they weren't winning all their matches, they're playing entertaining and they came to watch.
And then they started to win their matches and it was on the back of these massive crowds coming to watch them. So let's hope that the same happens because, they're good, the Brisbane public.
That's it.
We are just about out of time for the show.
Okay.
Simon? Simon Hill's just trying to poke his head in the studio and tell us, are we out of time?
It's all over!
Okay, thanks, Simon. We better wrap it up.
Better listen to the man.
Yeah, we won't argue with him. This is our last show for a little while.
Our next show will actually be our live.
Next week.
On the 9th, unfortunately, Matthew, last episode was in South African time, so he said it was the 10th.
Yes. We will be here on the 9th for our live show, live studio audience. Possibly the first time it's ever been done in podcast history.
Possibly. We haven't,
I'm not going to confirm that. No. I'm not going to go out there. This is like a Carlsberg ad. Probably the first time it's ever been done.
Yes.
And it'll probably be the best live podcast ever.
I'm
using the qualifier probably so we don't ever get sued. It's going to be good. It's going to be a big show. Lots of jokes, lots of chat, because of course all the quarterfinals and semifinals will have been played by then. You can get involved in that or by listening. You can also. It's going to be hard for people to stay focused and interested in the football while we're gone.
While we're gone. So what can they do? Is there any alternatives?
You can always go to our website.
Yes.
See the Betfair logo on the right-hand side. Click on it. Open an account. Start betting. And hey, presto.
Games are suddenly 10 times more interesting.
Holy hell, how exciting is the game?
It's crazy.
Yeah. So do that. Go to our site. Click on the Betfair link, open up an account, and start betting, start enjoying yourself. I think we're pretty much done, are we?
I think so. Well, Simon Hill's just banging on the window, so...
Yeah, Simon, piss off! Oh, bloody hell.
You already have one Man City fan in here.
Exactly, yeah. I'd get up and walk out if that was not... I don't mind Man City. We'll be back with a live show, so don't miss it, the 9th. It'll be recorded on the 9th and up and available to listen on the 9th as well.
Yeah, it should be in... mid-afternoon on the 9th. Get into it because it will be amazing.
Get into the sack. We'll still be twittering during the matches,
of course,
though. During the World Cup matches, even though we won't be podcasting, so stay tuned, keep visiting the website. We will see you soon. I've been Jack, that's been Christian.
Goodbye, everyone.
See you guys.